All right, everyone. Well, I have the privilege of introducing our speaker this morning. She is our Dean of Students here at Simpson, Sarah. Sarah has so many incredible qualities, and we don't have time to go through all of them. Two things I love about her. Number one, Sarah, where did she go? Oh, she's over there. Oh, okay. Sarah is hilarious. Sarah is so funny. I don't know if that's saying a bunch because I laugh at everything, but Sarah's super funny. Also, though, Sarah's an advocate, and an advocate means someone who speaks on behalf of people that can't speak for themselves, and Sarah cares super deeply about students, almost more than anyone else on this campus. Those of us who work with Sarah, all of us in student development, work really closely with each other, and we see Sarah stay up really late, and she wakes up really early. She puts in a lot of hours to serve all of you, and so Sarah, you make this school better, and we see the care that you give our students. And I'm sure I don't even know everything in the ways that you care for our students. And so, Sarah has a word this morning for us, you guys. I know she's been wrestling deeply with a passage, and we're so excited to hear it this morning, Sarah. So why don't you all give her a hand as she shares?
Thanks, Matt. I pay her to say kind things. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we love you this morning. As we open your word, would you, the word, be with us? Lord, would you be the kind father that we know you to be this morning? We love you, we trust you, and praise things in your name. So friends, I like a good movie, and I assume that you enjoy watching movies. I particularly like the ones that have this this build-up or this revelation or this crux of a moment in the middle or the end, or I don't really care where it's at, where it kind of changes everything else in the story that I was just watching. It's a piece of the puzzle that it clicks, and if I wasn't asleep, that I'm awake for it, and it just changes the whole story. You probably weren't born yet when The Sixth Sense, Bruce Willis, anyone over here? That's like the original. You guys should watch it. I don't know if it's even still in print. Okay, that's not, okay. It's the most famous one. It's the OG of plot twists, like in movie history. Shutter Island, I don't recommend it, but it was pretty good. Leonardo DiCaprio in this mysterious disappearance on this island, and then something happened, and it's just mind-blowing. Fight Club, don't watch that one. I shouldn't have said that. Okay. The psychological thriller Get Out by Jordan Peele. Knives Out, right? This complex plot and then this very satisfying twist. The Lion King, let's just keep it more PG. The Lion King, if you find out that Scar is Mufasa's brother and the villain, and then your mind is, right? It just changes the whole story. Or The Wizard of Oz. Blech. I didn't love that movie. Never have. But man, The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy's still being home. The wizard is a fraud. If you didn't know that, then. Okay. One of my favorites, Hugh Jackman, The Prestige. Anyone? So a couple. Right. Brilliant film. So you've got these rival magicians, and they're kind of warring against each other. They're trying to outdo each other, sort of like Nat and Chandra were sort of trying to do this weekend with flag football. Chandra won. Okay. These warring characters, and the audience, you're guessing until the very end. You guys, I'm not going to give it away to you because you got to watch it. That revelation at the end, it changed how you watch the movie. My friends and I, when we left the theater many years ago, we couldn't stop talking about it. I wanted to watch it again because once you knew what happened, it totally changed everything else. The beauty of Revelation lies in its ability to illuminate our understanding and transform our perspectives. Revelation, friends, it happens every day. It happens in history. It brings clarity to confusion. Something happens and something makes sense of something. And you're like, aha, I finally get what Middlebrook was trying to say. Revelations serve as a catalyst for personal growth. You gain insight about yourself and you have this light bulb moment. And then you grow because of it. Revelations can deepen our connections with others. When you understand someone else's motives or story or struggle, that empathy switch turns on. Revelations, friends, are this magic dust that has transformative power. There's a story in the Bible that has this moment, this catalyst, this revelation, this powerful turning point in the larger story of Jesus. The story that highlights the movements from turmoil to tranquility, from chaos to calm. The story is found in Mark chapter 4. Let me give you the setting. It's really exciting. It's a dangerous and furious storm with a boatload of panicking people. The air is filled with mayhem and disorder and chaos. And the hero is this sleeping Jesus. So I think I've got it up here for you. Let me read it to you. This is in Mark 4. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. But of course, other boats followed. Soon a fierce storm came up, and high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. That's nice. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and waves obey him." So I can imagine Jesus was exhausted from the relentless pace of homecoming. I mean, from his travels. I'm just trying to see if you're paying attention. The days were running together, one blurred into the next, and each day was filled perhaps with the weight of people's hopes and their needs pressing on him. He traveled from town to town preaching and performing miracles, often without a moment's rest. So the physical toll was evident. His body was weary from walking long distances and engaging with crowds. Friends, he feels the weight of being human. He's tired. The constant crush of the crowds has given him no margin in which to rest. And so when the evening comes, after another exhausting day of teaching, Jesus is ready for a sequestered Sabbath or rest. So understand this really quickly. Before Mark chapter 4, before our story, there are other stories. Jesus is teaching parables about faith. Before our story is about the sower, the lamp, the seed. That's right before this Mark 4 story. But after our story are other stories, and it's about Jesus' full power. He's showing off here after Mark 4. After our story are other stories about a demon, a dead girl, and discipleship. You should check it out. Okay, so before our story, teaching on faith. After our story, Jesus' power is on display. Sandwiched between stories of faith and miracles is our little story. A convergence of these things, a revelation that changes everything. In order to participate in the future work of Christ, we have to first encounter the person of Christ. In order to join the work in that future work of Christ, we have to first encounter the person of Christ. So back to our story in verse 37, different translation says, "Suddenly they were crossing the lake. A ferocious storm arose with violent winds and waves that were crashing into the boat until it was nearly swamped," much like the boat regatta. Couldn't help myself. Right, you'd see the boat. Okay, anyway. So the tranquil night was shattered by the fury of the sea. Heaving waves tossed the boat back and forth. Wave after wave bursts against the side, each one sloshing more water into the boat. So some of the disciples were frantically trying to bail the water out. Others grabbed the oars, and then others were trying to wrestle and subdue the impulsive and unpredictable sail. They were in a frenzy. With the sea threatening to swallow them, they shake Jesus awake, yelling at him to drown out the competing howls of the wind. "Teacher, Don't you care if we're going to drown? Someone's taking a phone call. Even while reading this story and retelling it, part of me feels anxious. Can you put yourselves in their shoes for a moment? These men would have been familiar with the waves of the sea. This was not their first time on the Sea of Galilee. This sea was particularly known for its sudden raging storms. I wouldn't have even gone out in the boat when he said, come on, let's go. These guys were professionals. And they were so frightened by the storm, friends, that they feared death. And we too, like them, perhaps we've experienced things that stir up emotions or panic and worry. We worry about a lot of things. Overwhelming future, the pressure to perform, the fear of failure, the temptation to take shortcuts. We worry about the economy, the weight of financial pressures, the looming specter of loans, the ever-rising cost of living, the elusive promise of financial security. We worry about belonging, acceptance, relationships. There's more, I've got a list. It's okay. We worry about being rejected, disappointing others, social isolation, feeling ashamed, humiliation, abandonment, loneliness, worthiness. We worry. Worry is an act. I am worried. Worry has an older sibling, anxiety. And anxiety is that state of being. I am anxious. Anxiety is a tricky thing. It's this mysterious feeling of worry or unease. Anxiety is when fear takes over your mind. Anxiety is when the what-ifs suffocate your brain. Anxiety, friends, is when you can't fall asleep at night, you can't relax, you can't turn off your mind. When your imagination runs haywire, your chest is tight, your breathing is shallow, your head is dizzy, your lungs speed up. And both of these things, the anxiety, the act, and the state of being and worry, they can be catastrophic for the soul. John Mark Comer, an author and preacher, says this: anxiety is when you stop trusting God, when you stop believing there is a God who is real, who is aware, who is loving, who's involved, and able to do anything in your life. When you worry, you suspend faith. You stop believing in what is true. These fishermen felt the same. Their little faith was suspended. Is this sleeping dude real? Is he aware? Is he loving? Is he involved? Is he able to do anything at all? Jesus was fast asleep. What a profound slumber must have overcome the weary Messiah. With the sea threatening to swallow them, they shake Jesus awake, yelling at him to drown out the storm. They panic, they're overwhelmed, they're anxious, they're worried, they're impatient. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if I'm polarized with fear? Don't you care, teacher, if I'm being bullied or mistreated? Don't you care if I lost my job? Teacher, don't you care if I'm struggling with addiction? Don't you care if I'm faced with chronic illness? Don't you care if I can't find my purpose or pay my bill? Don't you care if we are hurting, lost, struggling? Don't you care? Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Jesus awakes to a dozen pairs of faithless eyes, bloodshot with terror. He turns his piercing gaze towards the storm. He gets up and he speaks to the wind first and then to the waves, as if speaking to unruly children playing too loudly in the house. Quiet. Be still. Immediately the rough housing stops, without so much as a word or a whine or a whimper in reply. The sail falls limp. the boat steadies itself, and the storm is over. Then the Lord turns to his other children and says, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples have seen Jesus give strength to lame legs, sight to blind eyes, but they've never seen him do something like this. This is the greatest unleashing of raw power they'd ever witnessed. Why were they afraid? Because within their minds, they find themselves facing a more terrifying storm, a storm that came upon them so suddenly and so turbulently as the one they had just survived. The vortex of that storm swirls around their teacher's identity. Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? And then their eyes see. He who stands before them, friends, is no mere teacher or prophet or faith healer. He who stands before them holds the wild mane of nature in the strong grip of his hand. To him, the unbridled forces of nature submit without so much as a kick or a whisper of resistance. And in the wet, shivering presence of such a power, the disciples stand terrified, knowing that the man who slept in the stern rose from that sleep to do what only God could do himself. Here's the revelation. Here's the part of the movie I hope you walk out of talking about. They only knew him as teacher. Teacher, don't you care if we drowned? Teacher, don't you care if we drowned? They didn't yet know him as Lord. Remember that right before this passage, our little story in Mark 4, Jesus is teaching. He is a teacher teaching about faith. Everything changes, friends, if you know him as more than teacher. Everything changes for your life when you know him as Lord. All the stories after our story are about his miracles and his power. And the disciples with Jesus partner in the work of redemption. Storms are frightening, I know. I know what it's like to think that you can't survive. I know what it's like to think that God doesn't care. That death would be preferable because it would be over. I know what it's like to feel useless and helpless and hopeless. And if that's what you're feeling this morning, please take courage. Jesus does not take people out into the middle of the sea to drown them. I'm going to say it again. That's good news for us. Jesus does not take people out into the middle of the sea to drown them. He takes them across the sea so they can participate in his greater work of redemption. Some storms, friends, I promise you, he will rescue you from. And some will last until you get to the other side. The storm is not where you face the enemy. Friends, the storm is where you meet God. Beloved, hear me. He will not rest himself until you have a revelation of what he is really, really like for you. I want to end with a quick story. There's this picture here. I've only shared this with my student leaders, so there's a book called Celtic or Celtic, same thing, Devotions by Calvin Miller. And he tells about these Celtic wandering missionaries who traveled by sea in a one-man boat called a coracle. That's it. No, thank you. But that's it. These boats were sailless and rudderless. So if you understand anything about a boat, which I don't, but maybe our fishermen people do, right, the sail is what makes it go and the rudder is what steers it. So these wandering missionaries would get in these little boats. so that God could let his tides and storms move his servants to whatever shore he wished them to go. And the cry of the voyager was never for better weather, but only that the boat should remain intact until God, who kept them afloat, should land them where he wished them to serve their world. You guys, they would get together on the shore, these wandering missionaries, and one by one, they would get in a boat, and then they would push each other, much like the boat regatta. Okay. They'd push each other out there like, good luck. No, they believed in God. Here are their prayers. They would pray prayers like, take fear from my journey. That's a good one. Make the oceans small of wave. Steer my little coracle in the crooked eddies. And my favorite, I would sleep tonight in the knowledge that I will wake on some shore. And whether I wake in the land of angels or earthlings, I am grateful you'll be near me at the waking. And I will offer praise to whatever dawn I see. They believed when they got pushed out into that sea that God would really direct them and to land where he wanted them to serve. What if we got in that sailless, rudderless boat? It sounds honestly outrageously scary, a little inspiring. But maybe, just maybe, it's a little less ominous if we know him as Lord. What if we said, Lord, to all that is to come, we say, yes, the way I go is yours. I'm going to pray a blessing over you. Before we do that, I'm going to ask Brandon to come up. Friends, I want to say I don't know where you're at this morning, but I sometimes do know where you're at this morning. And so what I'm going to ask is, in the safety of a place that's dimly lit, I'm going to invite you to stand as I say a few things. If this is you, then stand, and then we're going to pray over you. Friends, if you find yourself this morning in the middle of a storm and need prayer, go ahead and stand. Friends, if you need to be rescued from something, go ahead and stand. Friends, if you need him to wake up and to do something in your life, go ahead and stand. Friends, if you are drowning in some anxiety, in some worry, you can't sleep at night, your mind can't shut off, go ahead and stand. Friends, if you need a fresh encounter with Jesus, if you need to know what he's really, really like, go ahead and stand. And then, friends, if you're saying yes to Jesus because you want to be part of the work around the world, but you need some courage, would you please stand? If you are around someone that is standing, let's just gather around and put our hands on. Brandon's going to pray for you in this space, and then I'll bless you to leave in a moment.
God, we don't always know what you're doing, but we can hold fast to who you are. God, we don't always know where you're taking us, but we know your character. God, there's times it's hard for us to trust, but God, we just pray that we would see where you're at in the storm. God, would we see your face in the waves, God, would we know that in a moment you can still them. God, for each person responding, God, I just pray that they would find you in their situation. God, that they would find you in the grief. God, they would find you in the hopelessness. God, that they would find you in the worry. God, God, that they would see that you are a present God. You are not far from us. You don't turn your face from us, God. You are near, and you know us and our situations intimately. So, God, I just pray. God, I ask, God, that we all would be more aware of who you are in those moments where it can be so hard. Father, give us faith. Give us faith to believe that you are who you say you are and that you will do what you said you will do. As a community, God, we just pray this over one another. And we thank you for who you are.
Amen. Would the rest of you please stand? I want to pray a blessing over you this morning. You can hold your hands out. That would be okay to receive. Let me pray this over you, friends. May you come to know Jesus as more than teacher. May you come to know him as the master of the wind and the waves, as Lord and Savior and Prince of Peace. Friends, may you give him more credit, remembering that he won't let you drown. And may you have the gumption and the grit and the courage to get into that little boat and say, Lord, to all that is to come, we say yes. Amen, amen, amen. Friends, you are dismissed this morning. Thank you so much for being here.